maybe selfish or carnal. I want him to hear us praising God without anyone asking us to, without anyone coaching us. Just do it because it ought to be done. Hallelujah. Darlene's sick this morning. She's been for 2 days battling with something, and so I didn't mention that request a while ago, but I do want you to remember her in prayer. Today, I've got a lengthy amount of scripture. And surprisingly enough, I've only got a page and a half of notes. I heard that sigh of relief. And we're going to start reading in our scripture from the book of Luke, chapter 10. And I'm going to be talking to you on the idea of dominion. Does anybody, I mean, I'm not asking for a scientific definition, but does anybody have a concept of dominion? Authority, power. I want you to understand, as we're talking about this, dominion is something that we should be exercising. I'm losing you. Okay, Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 19, Jesus is speaking. Behold, when you see that word behold, it's observe. That's really what it's saying. Observe, I give unto you power. That's authority. That's not strength. It could be partially that way, but the meaning here is I give you authority, power, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He starts off with a danger zone and over all the power of the enemy. He's given that to us. And when we talk about the enemy, we just let it get exaggerated in our mind how powerful he is and how awesome he is. And Jesus is saying, if you're the least in the kingdom of God, you've got power over him. You might feel like that you're next door to failing out. But if you call on the name Jesus, power comes. Do you believe that? It generates something inside of you. You can't say, even right now, you can't say Jesus 3 or 4 times without something beginning to build in you. Would we try that just at least one time? Jesus. Let's do it in unison. Jesus. Now, incorporated in that Jesus is every need that I have, every burden that I'm bearing, every heartache that I'm enduring. It's all incorporated in when I speak the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And nothing, somebody say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. That is a powerful verse of scripture. Am I right? Then he goes ahead and tells them, we're not going to read it, but notwithstanding, don't rejoice about all that, but rejoice because your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, we're going to go to Genesis chapter number 1. We're still talking about dominion. And chapter number 1 of Genesis, and verse number 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I'm Godlike. Isn't that amazing? I didn't say that. I'm just quoting to you God's verdict. You are Godlike. Hallelujah. And let them have what? Dominion, authority over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Somebody say all. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 28, and God blessed them, talking about man and woman, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Has anybody ever thought about that word replenish? There was a pre-Adamic creation. It was wiped out because of the grossness of their conduct. And now God is saying to Adam and Eve, replenish, restock it, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That is strong. That is powerful. You don't have to hold your scripture there, but let's move now to the book of Psalm, the 8th division, and read a short passage from there. Psalm 8, verses 4 through 8. Are you ready? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. God made him. God, thou madest him. God made him, created him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. And thou hast put all things under his feet. Under whose feet? The believer, the man. Am I talking to anybody? All sheep and oxen, and yea, the beast of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. God put it all under. We're the boss. We're God's agent on earth. I wish I could get that in our mind, in our spirit. We're not. Oh, no, let me just go ahead. Acts chapter 27. We're going to land there. Are y'all in for the duration? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 27, we got several verses that we're going to read. Verse number 10 and 18 through 26. Paul is on a journey to Rome by boat. A storm comes up. Consternation is in the heart and mind of the entire people, 276 people on that boat. And Paul said unto the people in the midst of the storm, it's not hard to speak before the storm comes. You can call your friend up and say, oh, we'll survive. You can encourage them. It don't take much faith to do that, does it? It's not hard to talk about the storm when the storm is over. But Paul in that boat is in the middle of a storm, of a crisis. Dominion, authority. Remember that. God has got the ability to carry you over the storm, around the storm, or through the storm. Some of you have been over the storm because he saw that your faith was not strong enough to go through the storm. Some of you have been around the storm for whatever reason. But there are others, even today, who are in the storm. And it's what I do in the storm that tells who I am. Am I right? Paul stands up now. Dominion. Paul, I'm going to show you in this passage, without violating the scripture, that dominion, that Paul had the authority. Oh, glory to God. He had the capability. He was dominant over the storm. He was dominant over the crew. He was a slave on the ship, but he was the captain. Do you understand that? He was literally a prisoner being carried to Rome to appear before Caesar. And the storm elevated the prisoner to the captain. Y'all not getting that? Storms are where you show your color, your creed, your stamina. It's where you people find out what kind of person, how did you survive? I think about Brother Jackie and Sister Della losing their house in a fire. And people say, how did you survive? To us who are believers, it's easy how they survive. I'm not saying that they want to do something like that, but they survive because their faith is built upon the foundation of God Almighty. That's not to say they would enjoy going through it again, but they survived it. Others of you have had cancer and problems and situations, and it didn't just come down your driveway incidentally. It come down your driveway to smash you. There's intelligence. When something rises up against you, there's an intelligent power behind it. Manipulating, guiding, coaching. Do this, do that. Take this away. Put this bruise on them. If you do one more thing, they'll deny God. But you've not done it. You've not denied God. You're sitting upon these pews here this morning, showing the world that cares whether they care or not. You're showing the world that the devil could not get you down up to this point. Am I talking to you? I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next month holds. But up to this point, you have shown the devil who is in control. And you've let him know that he is not the one controlling things. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. He is the father of lies. God cannot lie and the devil cannot be truthful. Oh, Jesus. Where was I at? Chapter 10. Paul spoke up and said, "Sirs," the captain's speaking now, "prisoner Paul, he's going to show you he has dominion over this storm. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage." He did not say, "Oh, in the name of Jesus, this wind's going to cease." Hello. He did not say, "Let's agree together by joining hands and pray that the waves will lay down." He didn't do that. He said, "I'm going to tell you the truth about it. I'm not going to mess around with you. I'm not going to play games with your mind. This storm we're headed for some bad water." Oh, God. "This voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lady and the ship, but also of our lives." He's telling it like it is. There are some times that we can speak words of faith to people and say, it's going to pass. But there's sometimes we don't have the right to do that. Okay, all right, let's see where we're at now. Luke chapter 10, verse number 18. "We being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." The captain, old Captain Paul, had warned them. Now they're fighting for survival. They could have leaned back and said, "Oh, it's all in control." But when you see the thief coming, you can't just sit back on your front porch and say, "I'm covered by the blood." A 12-gauge shotgun would help. "And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope," somebody say all hope, "that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth." Here's the captain. Isn't it amazing? "Stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer.'" That's really... "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Amen? Can I get a witness? "Now, for there stood by me..." He's basing his logic on an experience. He's not saying this is just something I grabbed out of the air. "I had a visitation from an angel. Stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs," to the crew, Paul is speaking, "be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Let's move along for the sake of time. Let's look at verse number 28. "They sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Dominion. Are y'all ready for the scriptures to be spoken? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Now, I don't know whether I'm going to use this one, or go pick the other one up. I got my choice, I guess, if Brother Craig can keep up with me. Paul showed that he had authority over the storm. He had authority over the sailors. They were not prisoners. He was. He had dominion over the storm. He had dominion over the sailors. He had dominion over the shore, the place that they would land, the certain island. And he had dominion over the serpent, the whole gambit. There was not an area that Paul was not in control of. I don't know about you. It's good to have dominion over this area of your life, maybe another area of your life, but it's better to have dominion over every area of your life. Am I talking to anybody? God does not want me vulnerable from any attack of the devil. And God is not saying, I will step into the circle and I will take care of it. God is saying, do you remember? I don't vacillate. Do you remember? I told you in Luke, by Jesus' mouth, that I'm giving you authority over all the authority of the enemy. Don't be calling, Father, in the name of Jesus, work the miracle working power that your word has in it. And let us speak concerning dominion, the things that we need to speak. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You were created to rule. You were created to have dominion over whatever faced you. You are an overcomer. Think of that word. What does overcomer mean? It means you go over what's coming against you. From this direction, that direction, from this aspect. These issues come against you to destroy you, to defeat you. But the book of God says you are an overcomer. Five churches, actually seven, but five of the churches in Asia Minor, to him that overcometh, we are called on to overcome. Am I talking to you? So the struggle goes on to rob you of this dominion, because the devil does not want to be put in his place by some weak Christian. It's humiliating for somebody that is not some super duper whatever to be able to have the knowledge and the humility of mind to recognize. The Bible said we're not ignorant concerning the devil's devices, but it humiliates the devil for you, me, to rise up and take our place in the kingdom of God and say, in the name of Jesus, get thee hence. The word of God says when we resist the devil, he doesn't just leave. He runs. How long has it been since you've been contested with a problem and you stood your ground? You said, I've run before, but I ain't running no more. I've collapsed before, but it's over with now. I'm standing my ground. I might be a puddle of blood when it's over with, but I ain't running, devil. How long has it been since you stood your ground and seen the devil, seen that trial, seen that mockery back out of the back door? Either God's word is true or it's not true. Either the devil will flee or he won't flee. There's no middle ground. Amen? Man, God gave man dominion. In Genesis, I read it to you. Gave him dominion over everything. Man gave dominion up. The tragedy. The devil gained dominion from man. He didn't gain it from God. God gave it to man. God says, all this earth is yours, Adam. You're the boss. You're the ruler. You're the main man. It's all yours. In the implication is, do with it whatever you choose because you have control. Do you understand what I'm coming from? You don't have to seek my counsel. I'm giving you wisdom. You're like me, Adam. You're in my likeness. I'm giving you intelligence. I'm giving you wisdom. I'm giving you capability that you can make the choices as what to do with this dominion. And the devil came sliding around, beautiful in his makeup, beautiful in his approach, wise in his whatever. And he gains dominion from Adam by just saying things. Hello? He saddles up to him and says, hath not God The devil knew that if Adam capitulated, that he, the devil, would have dominion. And Adam gave the dominion of this earth away. And the result of him giving it away is you and I suffer pain. We suffer heartbreak, disappointments, frustration, sin, all of it because Adam surrendered dominion. He lost his dominion. Can you understand that? Hallelujah. And God said, oh, am I talking to you? And God said, okay, the devil won dominion fair and square. He's a liar. He's a cheater. But he operated on legal grounds. Hello? He did not do it illegally. He did not fight Adam. He did not wrestle it out of his hands. He gave a proposition and Adam surrendered to it. And the devil got the authority over this earth. And from that moment on, Jesus called the devil the God of this world. Amen? You're of your father, the devil. He's a liar and the truth is not in him. So the devil standing there in that Garden of Eden, in that one episode, the devil gained authority. Now Adam has no dominion. Adam has no authority. The devil has got the authority. And the devil begins to use it to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God, sitting upon the throne, said, I didn't have plan B. I didn't have plan C. The dominion was given up by my man. I gave it to him, no strings attached, and he has given it to the devil. Now, if dominion comes back to man, man has got to do it legitimately. He can't do it illegal. God is saying, what I'm really saying, God is speaking, I have the ability to reach down and wrench it from the devil. I'm God, the Almighty God. But it would not be right for me to do that. Man lost it upon legal grounds, and man has got to return it and regain it on legal terms. And if they don't do that, then it'll never be brought back. And the law came, and the law could not bring the authority back. Prophets came, and they couldn't bring it back. But God had a plan. Shada Mahataya. And God looked over at the Son of God, and he said, you are the only hope. If dominion comes back to man, it's got to come through a man who knows no sin. Because if he knows sin, he's going to be a sinner, and he has no right. But there's no sin in you, son. There's never been, you've never done an evil deed. You've never lied. You've never polluted. You've never poisoned. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to send my sinless son. Am I talking to anybody? I'm not going to give you super duper power. You're going to meet the devil just like Adam met him. Hello? Except Adam met him in a garden of tranquility. You're going to meet him in a wilderness of darkness. Adam met him with demonic powers around. You're going to meet him with demon spirits around. Will you go? Of course. Are y'all letting me? Jesus, in my little picture here, Jesus stood up, and I don't have to think twice about it. For the redemption of the title deed of earth, for the soul of Johnny Toler, for the soul of Philip Jethro, for the soul of whoever you are, yes, I will go. I'm not seeking reputation. I'm not seeking books to be written by me, about me. I'm not seeking anything. I'm going down to, and by honest measures and legal measures, I will gain back the title deed of earth. I will gain back man's dominion. And the Father said, there it is, you go. And the devil heard the powwow. And the devil said, we've got to stop him. The devil tried to kill him in Bethlehem. The devil tried to kill him at 12 years old. The devil tried to kill him in the wilderness. The devil said, I cannot. If he gets to the cross, it's over with for me. And if he gets to the cross, he's won dominion back. Oh, my God. But Jesus went outside of Jerusalem on a place called Golgotha. And Jesus bore his cross. Heavy, burdensome, painful. He done it because he's going to gain back the the title deed of earth. He's going to gain your dominion back. That's why he told him in Luke, he said, look, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you power over all the powers of the devil. You're going to have it. And hanging on the cross, he looked around and spoke seven sayings, took care of issues, bowed down his head and said, it is finished. And the earth quaked. And the tombs in Jerusalem, many of them were opened up. And the devil trembled. And the devil quivered. But Jesus, and they said to Jesus, why don't you come down and show me? And why don't you come? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Why don't you come down and save thyself? He said that he could save others, and he came. And Jesus said in so many words, let me show you something. It would be better if you just wait around the Sunday morning. I'll show you it's better to come up than it is to come down. Amen. Hallelujah to God. They laid him in a tomb that nobody ever laid in. He laid there, no breath in his body, no activity in his brain, because he's in the heart of the earth preaching liberty to people, and he's gaining back. And he come back and he said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I'm giving to you. That's what Jesus said. I give unto you the keys. And the Lord God substantiated it. And hallelujah, he 40 days later, he ascended and sat down. And Jesus, the Spirit of God said in chapter 1 of Acts, I give unto you power. You shall receive power, ability, authority. Am I talking to anyone? Glory to God. And there was placed in man's hands the title deed of this earth again. And the devil has been working for 2,000 plus years to get it back. I have authority over the devil. You have authority over the devil. Am I talking to you? And the devil browbeats you. The devil harasses you. The devil lies to you. The devil makes you sick. The devil afflicts your mind. He afflicts your children, your family. He does everything he can to vex you because he wants you to surrender your authority. He wants you to say, there's no use in going on. But I stand in this pulpit today to tell you, you are thinking about giving up. You are so wrong. You're thinking about dropping out of the race. It's a lie from the devil. It's the devil trying to gain the position that you have now. He's trying to gain it from you. I come here to tell you this morning that you don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to stop. You don't have to cease. There is a God that sits upon the throne this morning. He's mighty. He's almighty. All you've got to do is team yourself up. If any two agree as touching on any one thing, I'm not agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with God. I'm not agreeing with man. I'm agreeing with deity. And if I agree with God, God's going to agree with me. Hala mokoshandai. My God, can somebody say amen? Can somebody say praise God? Hallelujah. Every time I say no to the devil, I'm fortifying myself. Every time I say yes to the devil, I'm wrecking myself. I don't have time to say both. I don't have time to give a yes and a nay. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. I'm against the devil. I'm against everything he does. I'm against everything he's ever done. I'm against everything he's going to do. I'm for God. I'm for everything that God does. I'm for the Holy Bible. I'm for the standard of righteousness. I'm for holiness. I'm for the decrees of God. Somebody praise him this morning. Somebody give him glory and honor and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. 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 And Paul understood this dominion. You need to understand it. I'm not saying you don't, but you need to understand it. You don't have, and please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. You don't have to call your prayer partners up. That's good to have them. It's good to have fortification. But you've got the authority. You've got the right. You've got the dominion. And it's time that some of us start exerting that. It's time that we start exemplifying that. It's time that we show our fellow believers that we are no longer a pushover. We don't have to whine and cry. We don't have to blubber and bluster. We can stand up, flex our spiritual muscles, and say, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. I'm not going under, I'm going over. I'm not going down, I'm going up. I'm not going around, I'm going through. So Paul understood this dominion. He looks around at that boat. He says, 276 people on here, and I see fear in every single one of them. The captain's afraid. The first mate's afraid. All of the sailors, but they were in one vessel. Whether they were in one accord or not, that's not issue. They were all in one vessel. We're here today in one vessel. We're in one building. We're so your mind may not be here, but your body's here. I've got the access to your mind, to your body by verbalization. You're here. It's not a storm out yonder somewhere. We're here. We're in the unit of God. Am I talking to church people? Paul said there's fear. There's great fear. They're fearing for their life. And so while they're grappling about trying to survive, Paul is praying. He's seeking God. And he says, listen to me. He says, I'm going to tell you that what the verdict is. There stood by me an angel of God this night. Who's it? Who is God? Who is mine? Who am I serving? And who I belong to? And he said, don't worry about anything. I don't know about you, but I stand here this morning in front of people that many of you are worrying about stuff. You're worrying about how this is going to come out, what the doctor's going to say, what the banker's going to say, what the school people are going to say. You worry, worry, worry. I stand here after prayer and supplication. I stand here after seeking God, and I just got words for you. I got news for you. I've got a word of a verdict for you. Worry not. Cease from worry. Cease from worry. You're not accomplishing anything. Praise God in place of worry, worship in place of frustration. Be fruitful in God. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I know I am. Can somebody just acknowledge the glory of God? Paul said, look, so he had dominion over the storm. He didn't say, let's all gather around here and let's pray. There's a time to pray and there's a time to act. And we need to know the difference in those things. And Paul said, look, he's demonstrating. He understood this thing of authority. He understood that when he was knocked down on that Damascus road and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do, Lord? Who is this Lord? That changed his life. That one word, Lord. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What do you want me to do, Lord? Arise and go in Damascus to a street called straight to one Ananias' house. Behold, he prayeth. Paul got up out of that dirt and Jesus became his Lord. And a few years later, he stands by Nero's chopping block, looking out the window at the chopping block, and he says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah to God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God. He's got authority over the storm. The storm raged, but Paul has dominion over the storm. It's not the storm has got no going to cease the storm, but he took the fear of the storm away. I don't want anybody to have cancer. I don't want anybody to have fatal diseases. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now: you can survive. You can survive. Amen. My sister Irene, she slipped on. Carolyn called me this morning about 10 after 7, and her mom slipped away at 7, and there's a reunion going on in heaven. And I said, look, we wouldn't bother her if we could. She had dominion. She didn't have dominion over death, because death is appointed unto you to die. Amen. We're going to go that way if Jesus tarries. And some of you are closer than others, but we're all going to go there. Am I talking to anybody? So Paul had dominion over this storm. He didn't say storm cease. Jesus spoke to the Sea of Galilee and said, storm cease, peace be still. I don't know why. I mean, he could have done it with Paul, but see, don't copyright God. Am I talking to you? Here's what God said. My God shall supply all your needs. There's so many ways to look at that. We equate that with material needs, financial needs. If you need a caregiver, it could be that God would just move somebody in down your street. And you'd look back and it happened so smooth and so slick that you didn't even pick up on it. But 5-10 years later, after the funeral's over, you look back and say, what would I have done if it hadn't been for you, Martha? Martha said, well, you know, I didn't know the house was coming vacant and I didn't know it was going on the market, but I got it. I just felt like that was my house. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I don't think you do. We just think some things happen. God is behind the scenes pulling the strings. You're not, and I'm not condemning you. You're not so genuinely shrewd. You're not a genius. You're just a person that God is promised to keep. He will keep you. I'm serving a keeping God. Amen. Are y'all with me? Oh, it's 7 minutes after seven. Paul showed dominion over the storm. Now he shows dominion over the sailors. Are y'all give me time? Except you abide in the ship. God has appointed, you're sitting on these pews this morning by the divine appointment of God. Amen. Make no mistake about it. It wasn't because I was so smart and shrewd that you come into this church. You're under an appointment from God. And the sailors, they said, look, the only hope we've got is to jump overboard. Forget the prisoners and forget all them. There's prisoners among us that need to be looked out for. They can't function. Their faith is dead. They're tired. They're exhausted. And to counterbalance that, there's some vigorous, good, godly believers among us that we can spot the prisoner. And we don't have to walk up and say, hey, I understand you're a prisoner. Do you understand my language? Is there any way, how long has it been since you try to seek somebody out and be a blessing to them? So they're getting ready to go overboard. And Paul said, hold on just a minute. I'm the captain of this boat. I've proven myself to be the man of the hour. Except you abide in the ship, you shall perish. Cut the boats. I don't know the boat language, but they're little side boats. Whatever, they got a name, I'm sure. Cut the string. They're not going to save. The stuff that you're trying to hold on to save you ain't going to save you. There's only one that's going to save you, and that's whoever's in the will of God. If I'm floundering in the water, don't just send me some Johnny come lately. Excuse me, Brother Johnny. Don't just send me somebody that's a novice. If I'm floundering around, you get in that, get where I'm at and tell me, put your trust in God Almighty. Hallelujah to God. They cut the hell. I wish I could. They get their knife out. Cut. What are you doing? That's our only hope. No, that certainly is not your only hope. The only hope you have is the one that's seated upon the throne. Paul's speaking. Cut the boats loose. Get them out of the way. And the big main boats cracking up, splitting. And not all of them could. I'm enjoying this, but I don't know about you. But not all of them on that boat could swim. We got some people that can swim beautifully. I don't mean literally. I mean you can come through. You're Michael Phelps. You can get the gold medal. But sadly enough, we got a lot of people in our ranks that can't swim. Hello? And we're floundering. Please help me. We need the good swimmers. We can't segregate them. We can't say, well, the swimmers are over here and the sinkers are over here. We're all in it together. You might be sitting beside a swimmer this morning. You might be sitting beside a sinker this morning. But the swimmer's going to reach out and take your hand and say, don't you worry, dear one. I know this water good enough. I've been in stormy. I've been in storms before, and I will get you to the shore. Sometimes we got to have somebody to help us get to the shore. Sometimes we can't get to the shore on our own strength. The waters are too rough. The perils are too great. Sometimes we just need somebody to put the hand out on our collar and say, hang on. When I'm sinking, I don't need theology. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When I'm sinking, I don't need lectures. When I'm sinking, I don't need holiness. If you got to grow your hair here and you got to. When I'm sinking, I need somebody to rescue me. After you get me rescued, then you can tell me how I want to live. But rescue me first. Don't leave me sinking out there because I'm going to die. So some of them have pieces of the boat. If you'd had a VCR, whatever you call those, it would have been a beautiful sight. They just fled. What are you doing by that piece of board? That piece of board's going to take me to this shore. That's the only hope I got, that piece of board. That's what the Bible says. Paul was in control. He had authority, dominion over the storm. Though the storm raged, he had dominion over the sailors. I got two more points. Can I get a... Let me check and see who's asleep. Paul had dominion over the shore. He didn't just say we're going to land, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Your storm, if you will submit to God, will take you to the landing place that you need to be. This is good. You're not just going to bop up and say, oh, I don't know, I'm on Gilligan's Island. It will take you to the place where you need to be. And there was a certain place that God aimed him at, and Paul had dominion. He said, this boat's broken up now. It'll never be repaired, but we are going to go on a certain island. And so they ended up on the shore, and it was some barbarous people, but that don't mean a negative thing. They were without God. Lastly, Paul had dominion over demons, over serpents. He comes up to this island, and he has not lost one of them. Did he promise them that in the early verses? There shall not be a loss of life. My God in heaven, Holy Father, Almighty God, I'm crying out to you right now for my soul. Don't let one of them on these pews be lost. Don't let us pull into the port and look around and say, where's so-and-so at? My God, I can't stand the thought of eternity. If I look around and say, I pastored people for 36 years and some of them were left behind. Some of them were lost. Some of them never made it. My God, I say, let me go back and do what I can during the tribulation period to get them right with God. Let me lay my life down and get them right with God. Am I talking to anybody? The horror. There shall not be the loss of any life. Count them. We got some that were prisoners. See, in this boat this morning, in this sanctuary, we got some that are prisoners. Your heart is crying for God. You want God so badly, but you're a prisoner of your own self. Habits have got you. Your conscience is a prisoner, making you a prisoner. You wish you would be free. You die to be free. But the lying serpent on your shoulder is telling you you can't manage it. I stand here today to tell you you can be free. You can be free. He gets to the shore. And let me bring this to a stop. He gets to the shore. And when you get in the center of God's will, even through the storm, even through the stuff, when you land where God pointed you, the first thing you're going to meet is the devil. Am I talking to you? Don't lose sight of that. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Paul says, the first thing I want to do is get a fire going. There was already, if you read it, thoroughly, there was already a fire going. Paul was simply wanting to strengthen the fire. And he met a snake that fastened on his hand. You've heard the sermons through the years. Now, he's got dominion over the storm. He's got dominion over the sailors. He's got dominion over the shore. What's he going to do? Now, they watch him. They watch him. He survived, but he'd die. That serpent bit Holy Ghost body flesh. That serpent gagged. I mean, that might be just a little light on my part, but I don't think he could bite. The devil, let's move away from the serpent. Let's talk about the devil. Sanctified flesh infuriates the devil. It infuriates. He can get close, but he can't get but so close. Have I talked to you this morning? Dominion! You walk out of this church this morning not trying to find, If I just had the power. You've got the power. If I just had what brother so-and-so's got. You've got, if he's saved and you're saved, you've got what brother so-and-so's got. I feel the power of God moving. There's people here. All you need is somebody to put their hand on your head and release. Release the power of God. Release that brain wave of yours that you've been negatively thinking. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Sister Ellen and the musicians are going to man the place. Bear with me just for a moment. I need a few people, who, male or female, to stand up here and say, I'll be one of them that will lay my hand. Because I'm going to ask people, we got to be who we are. We got to be, we can't be charades. We can't be whatever. We got to be who we are. So can I get a few people just stand up here in front of the pulpit? Don't trample each other. My God can do anything. Now, these good people are going, they're ready to lay, they're not going to throw you in the floor. If you fall, it'll be you. It won't be them pushing. We don't have no catchers around here pushing them down. Stand with us over the building if you will. It's not going to take all day to do this. It's not going to be a prolonged thing. But if you are in captivity, in the land of negativity, you understand what I'm saying? If the glass is always half empty and you're always depressed, all you got to do is walk in front of these men, these people, these sisters. And they're going to lay hands upon you, and that clutch is going to turn loose. They're going to sing, and I'm going to invite you to just come, just walk.